How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich. Welcome back to Issues Etc. If I said the phrase Lutheran martyr, you might say, well, I don't know if I know any names of Lutheran martyrs. If I said that it happened in Scotland, you might say, certainly not. The name Sir Patrick Hamilton probably is not familiar to you either, but he's all those things. He's a 16th century Lutheran martyr. He was actually burned at the stake by the church for holding to his Lutheran beliefs. What's really remarkable about his life, and we'll be talking about it here in just a moment, is that all this happened when he was a very young man, and it all happened well before most of the Lutheran confessions were written. Somehow, by contact with Luther's writings, this young man became Lutheran, and within a very short amount of time, after preaching Lutheran teaching and the pure gospel, was executed by the church as a heretic. We're going to be remembering him. The church remembers him on the 29th of February. Pastor Jerry Gernander joins us. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Princeton, Minnesota. Jerry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Why don't more of us know this man's story?
Well, it doesn't really come into a lot of the main histories of the Lutheran Church, maybe because of the location in Scotland where we really don't see much of Lutheranism after Luther's death, and it was pretty much overwhelmed by the Calvinism of John Knox. That's one reason. I think also that Sir Patrick Hamilton was a very young martyr, and it's just something I never read about it, and I first became aware of him by reading an article in Logia back in 1996.
So tell us his story.
Well, he's very interesting because he was nobility in Scotland. His father served as a regent for the young King James V of Scotland, so he had a lot of privilege. He was able to be educated, and while he was abroad studying in Paris, he became a Lutheran at a very early stage of the Reformation. Then he preached and taught and had a great effect, but for a variety of circumstances, he came back to Scotland, and this was in about 1527, and he was able to preach and teach with some degree of influence, and then was called before the Roman Catholic Archbishop in Scotland, and within about 1 month, he was brought up on charges of heresy. He had a very public trial, and then he was condemned to die. And it was on what we call Leap Day, February 29th in 1528, that this 24-year-old Lutheran teacher and preacher and scholar was burned at the stake.
Can you explain to us, because I think that aspect of his story or other martyrs' story, he is not the only Lutheran martyr at this time, oddly enough. And they're right. Also equally less known. But can you explain to us the mindset of the church in Scotland and elsewhere at the time that not only would they regard Lutheranism as a heresy, but they would burn a man at the stake for proclaiming and sticking to such things?
Yeah, well, I think they became alarmed, perhaps, the Roman Catholic Church, as we would call it. But the church officials became alarmed because this teaching of Luther was spreading and growing very quickly. It was in 1521 that they, at the university in Paris, where Hamilton was at the time, where they declared anyone who taught this doctrine to be a heretic. And then when he came back to Scotland, after publishing a Lutheran confession of faith, a set of theses known as Patrick's Places, Loci, I guess it would be in Latin, that they did the same thing in Scotland. They declared anyone to be teaching this to be a heretic. So I think there was a degree of alarm there, and they had this set way of dealing with it. There were other people who tried to win him. My favorite part of the story of Sir Patrick Hamilton really is another man by the name of Alexander Alane, A-L-A-N-E, and he tried to sway Patrick back to the bosom of the church of the day, and he failed, and he ended up becoming a Lutheran later on himself through the confession and brave death of Patrick. And so there was a lot of discussion there and conversation, and I think some confidence that they could dissuade him of, as they called it, the Lutheran heresy. But his example, his steadfast confession of faith, and it's really dramatic in the account of his martyrdom, had a great effect on other people. Unfortunately for us, we don't see the effects of that beyond the time of Luther's death, but he did have a great effect on many people, and there were others in Scotland who followed him in confession of faith, and a number of them who were martyred as well.
Do we know what it was, how he came into contact with Lutheran theology? You mentioned that he was in Paris, but how he came into contact with Lutheran theology such that he would adopt it for himself?
Yes, he was at this university in Paris, and it was the Leipzig Disputation from 1519, the record of the Leipzig Disputation that came, that was disseminated and came to the university there in Paris. And that was one thing. Another thing that they think is that he had read Luther's Freedom of a Christian, because the writing that we have, I guess, from Sir Patrick, it is very similar, I guess, in thought to the Freedom of the Christian. And we have some excerpts of that that I can share with you as well.
Absolutely. Why don't you share some of this martyr's own thought in his own words?
Okay. His, what they call Patrick's Places, is mainly something that discusses law and gospel, discusses the person and work of Christ. It discusses the right relation of faith and good works. And so one of my favorite quotations from that is where he says, "Whoever believes or thinks to be saved by his works denies that Christ is his Savior, that Christ died for him, and that all things pertain to Christ. For how is he your Savior, if you might save yourself by your works? Or whereto should he die for you, if any works might have saved you? What is this to say Christ died for you? Verily, that you should have died eternally, but Christ, to deliver you from death, died for you, and changed your eternal death into his own death. For you made the fault, and he suffered the punishment, and that for the love he had to you before you were born, when you had done neither good nor evil." And he goes on from there then to talk about, immediately after that, to talk about faith and works. It says, if I can find it here, "What is this to say Christ died for you?" And I'm repeating a little bit. "Truly, that you should have died eternally, and Christ, to deliver you from death, died for you and changed your eternal death into his own death. For you made the fault, and he suffered the punishment, and that for the love he had to you before you were born. Oh, how ready would we be to help others if we knew his goodness and gentleness toward us. Let us, I beseech you, therefore, follow his footsteps, whom all the world ought to praise and worship. Amen." I believe that's the conclusion of his writing. And so it's really fun when you think about the fact that we have these major discussions about how law and gospel are to be divided, and whether in a sermon following the gospel or even in preparation for it, you can discuss the law as a guide for living, that he does it in a very simple and beautiful way, and so early in the Reformation.
It sounds as though he had, even through what we would call today, a very limited contact with Lutheran theology. Those two writings are very early, and they're also, you know, hardly the full representation. He really got what Lutheran theology is all about.
Right, he did. I forgot to mention, or I neglected to mention, that he spent some time at Marburg after he was in Paris. He did not come back to Scotland right away, but he went to Marburg, where he was under the influence of some other Lutheran theologians. I believe Philip of Hesse was there, too. And so he probably was even further instructed or had more access to other writings of Luther, and it was there that he wrote Patrick's Places. And so it always surprises me how fluid all this travel is, where people from England or from France and others are in Germany, and then they're back and forth, and you find this in the English Reformation as well. His main teacher in Paris was Francis Lambert, who was one of the first French monks to be converted to Luther's teaching.
Pastor Jerry Gernander is our guest. We're talking about 16th century Lutheran martyr Sir Patrick Hamilton, remembered on the 29th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. With us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
I don't think anybody who's thinking rationally actually thinks that Donald Trump would be good on issues of marriage, abortion, religious freedom.
When the problem is that I'm dead, then the only solution is that the Lord comes to me and resurrects me. And that's exactly what we have in the gospel with the promise of the forgiveness of sins.
The story of the changing of water to wine already has within it important references to Jesus' death.
The mindset of the entire anti-university or multiversity is trying to drive home the point that there is no meaning in life. You are your own God. Do what you will do for your own sake. Pay us $40,000 a year to do it here.
In just an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, our game where we play four soundbites for you. You just heard a little snippet of each one of them. And then after you've listened to those four soundbites, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your votes will decide which one will be the soundbite of the week, and we're giving away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper, sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week 1 hour from now. In the meantime, we're remembering 16th century Lutheran martyr Sir Patrick Hamilton, who died on February 29th, 1528, at the hands of Roman Catholic inquisitors, actually burned at stake. We'll talk about that martyrdom in just a moment. One of the things that you point out, Pastor Gernander, before the break that really highlights something for me is that the Reformation, often associated so strongly simply with the states of Germany, is in fact, to a lesser degree, spread all over the continent and beyond.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you consider his, Sir Patrick Hamilton, his main years here are between 1521, you know, and 1528, and the catechisms are probably not even published yet by that time, and the Augsburg Confession is ahead of us as well.
Is there any way to know whether Luther himself heard of Sir Patrick Hamilton's martyrdom?
You know, I have not run across that, but I do know that Melanchthon, who was a friend later of that other man that I mentioned, Alexander Alan, and was quite close to him and was present at the baptism of this man's daughter, Melanchthon knew all about it, and probably at a pretty early stage as well.
There is a very telling and touching a quote attributed to Sir Patrick Hamilton while the fire was being set around him, where he, in essence, kind of tells his Roman Catholic executioners, you come forward and testify to the truth of your religion by putting your little finger into this fire in which I am burning with my whole body. What was he saying there?
Yes. Well, all through, and this was a six-hour-long execution, there was this ongoing debate that was still going on, even after he had had a full public trial. He had been very directly questioned, had given very direct answers. His interrogator would preface everything with the word heretic, and he would come back at him with brother, and he would give him scriptural answers. But then they were still going at it while he was being executed, while he was in the fire was going at him, and people from the crowd would too. That was the quotation that you mentioned where he talked about putting your little finger into this, and I'm burning with my whole body. He was using that specifically to say, this is showing whose religion is true. To testify to the truth of your religion by doing that. I'm testifying to the truth of my religion. Then the one who was interrogating him was there, and he was yelling out things at him. And Hamilton said to him, "Wicked man, you know it is the truth of God for which I now suffer. So much you confessed to me in private. And thereupon I appeal you to answer before the judgment seat of Christ." And that man died a little bit later of a fever, and the people then sort of looked on what Hamilton had said as kind of a prophecy even. You know, during this time, they asked him to give them a sign, if are you still a believer in this doctrine? And this was, you know, at some length in the process, so he was showing the effects of it physically. And it's said that he raised three fingers of his half-consumed hand, and he held them up for the rest of the time until he died. And his last words were, "How long, Lord, shall darkness overwhelm this kingdom? How long will you suffer this tyranny of men? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And those are his last words.
So with that in mind, how do we best remember this Lutheran martyr, Sir Patrick Hamilton?
Well, there are a couple of key things, I think. But before I get to that, I should just mention that his brother became a Lutheran, had tried to cross the channel and save him, but there was a storm and he wasn't able to. He himself ended up having to flee Scotland because of his faith. His sister became a Lutheran, and she was brought up on charges for her faith, and the king was present. And you'd love her comment when they were questioning her. She said, "Work here, work there. What is all this working? I know perfectly well that no works can save me but the works of Christ." And she was freed. And so the effect that he had on family members, the effect that he had on even those who had been his enemies, who became his friends, and one of them even became a Lutheran and a Lutheran teacher and confessor and close friend of Melanchthon, the effect he had on others who were watching him, I think that sends a message to us as we endeavor to go about our lives confessing our faith by word, by deed, by church attendance, by praying with our families and so on. You know, who is watching? You never know the effect that it is going to have. And I think you see him, he's a young man in his early 20s. He had a wife. He had a little daughter named Isabel. The martyrs, you know, they are witnesses of the faith. They are witnesses of Christ. And so I think in him too, even though we don't have it in so many words, you hear him not asking, "What do I have to lose?" But you hear him asking, in a sense, "What has Christ done for me? What has the gospel freed me from?" And one of the things I love about him is he is all about justification. He staked everything on justification. All of his comments in his public writing, everything that you can read of his trial, is all very closely tied to what Scripture says in all the things that they're asking him about. He is just staking everything on justification. And even though the Augsburg Confession is a couple years on, he's really a Lutheran of the unaltered Augsburg Confession, even before it's written. Because even on the Lord's Supper, he evidently confessed the real presence and the scriptural doctrine of the Lord's Supper very purely and boldly, because he is not brought up on a charge by Rome that has to do with the Lord's Supper. And you don't always see that kind of example in some of these early English Lutherans. That wasn't necessarily all worked out, but he was very clear on that. So I think we can look to him as a great Lutheran confessor of great clarity. And so that's something to look at. His the man who was converted through his martyrdom, Alexander Alan, and by the way, Melanchthon gave him a nickname. He called him Alesius, Wanderer, because he ended up in Germany. But what he said about Sir Patrick Hamilton's teaching, he said he taught and disputed openly in the university in all points in which he conceived a reformation to be necessary in the church's doctrines. And so he could testify to the clarity of his teaching prior to what happened here, and also to the boldness of his confession of faith in his martyrdom. And so I think it's a great encouragement to us and to families to spend time teaching the faith at home to your children, hearing the Word of God together, learning to confess it, using it in your prayer life, going to church together as a family, and supporting the pure teaching of the Word that's done there. It matters, and it matters in ways that you won't always know right away. You know, as I said, you don't know who's watching, who's listening, who can be drawn to the truth. through your example.
Our guest, Pastor Gernander, has written a brief biography of Sir Patrick Hamilton. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Jerry Gernander is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Princeton, Minnesota. Jerry, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
When we come back, Shane Rosenthal, the White Horse Inn, is going to join us. We'll be answering many of the objections to the bodily resurrection of Jesus. But first, we're going to answer the question, why does it need to be defended and responded to in the first place? Stay tuned.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.